Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. He's worthy of it all. Amen. Whew. For from him are all things, and to him are all things, and he deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the honor and worship, because he's the only one worthy. And we exalt you this morning, Lord. We exalt the name of Jesus in this house and on this campus this morning, Lord. Fill the atmosphere of this campus with your presence, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I needed that. Well, for the last 2 weeks, our focus has been on prayer. And I guess our focus should be on prayer all the time. You know, I don't think we could ever get enough of that. But 2 weeks ago, we had our annual prayer walk on this campus, and several of you participated in that. And I believe we did some real damage to the kingdom of darkness. All right, our prayer walk wasn't just a religious exercise. It was warfare. It was warfare because there is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of our students. And we've been equipped by the Holy Spirit with the weapons to defeat the enemy. Amen? I mean, we've been given authority here in the spirit realm. And when I tell people we have authority on the campus of Walker Valley High School, they say, but you don't even work there, Bob. How do you got any authority? I said, yeah. Well, the person at the top of that education mountain here gave me a key that unlocks doors and opens gates. And that key is a symbol of the authority we have in the spirit realm. We don't have to jump the fence. We don't have to break in. We don't have to sneak in at night when nobody's looking. No, we've been given permission here by that person in authority. And like I said last week, you can't give authority unless you already have it to give, right? You can't give something to somebody you don't have. So we have authority here. And last week we talked about the authority we have in prayer and the authority we have when we're praying in agreement with God's will and God's purposes for this place, because he put us here, all right? I hope nobody doubts that he put us here. I'm convinced of that, that God put us here 16 years ago, and he has a plan and he has a purpose for us. And intercessory prayer is a big part of that plan and purpose. I mean, do we realize the incredible privilege it is to pray over this campus? There's going to be over 1,500 teenagers on this campus tomorrow morning, and a lot of them will be in this sanctuary. I don't call it an auditorium. I call it a sanctuary because we just filled it with praise and worship, right? And my prayer is always that when we leave here, there's still a Holy Spirit residue that stays, that influences conversations, that influences decisions these teenagers are going to make for good and not for evil. Believe that. Plus, we got the principal and her administrative staff, and we got all the teachers, and we got coaches and advisors and counselors and cafeteria workers, custodians, bus drivers, volunteers, everybody that sets foot on this campus. That's a lot of people. We don't know them all by name, but we can still pray for them. And the neat thing is God has positioned us, of all people, he's positioned us right in the middle of it all. So you and me, we have this incredible privilege, but it's also an incredible responsibility. And thinking about all that the last couple of weeks, I realized something. This is what I realized, that Jesus takes prayer a whole lot more serious than I do. That's true. And I wonder, do you think Jesus takes prayer a whole lot more serious than you do? Maybe? I don't know. I mean, if you read the Bible at all, you know that Jesus was devoted to prayer while he was here on the earth. Oftentimes, Jesus would go off by himself to get away from all the people, get away from all the noise, to spend time in prayer with his Father. And if Jesus had to take time to be with the Father, don't you think we need it even more? Yeah. I mean, he modeled prayer for us, right? He taught us how to pray. When the disciples asked him something, they didn't say, "Teach us how to build a big church, Jesus. Teach us how to have trendy services. Teach us how to prosper." And he says, "Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray." And he said his house would be a house of prayer. And he taught us how to pray. And he prayed for us in John's gospel in chapter 17. That whole John chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer. He prays for himself. He prays for the disciples that are with him. And then he prays for us, all those who would believe. That's us, all those who would believe. And he's in heaven interceding for us right now, the Bible tells us. So Jesus is devoted to prayer, and he wants you and he wants me to be devoted to prayer as well. But what does that mean, to be devoted to something or to someone? What does that mean? Well, here's the definition of that word devote. It's to concentrate on a particular pursuit, cause, or purpose. It means to give all or a large part of one's time and resources to. So what are, according to that, what are we really devoted to? If somebody were to look at your itinerary for the last 2 weeks, day and night, round the clock, what would they see? What would they find you're devoted to? What will they find you're willing to give a large part of your time or your resources to? What particular pursuit or cause or purpose are we really concentrating on? Because we're devoted to a lot of things, aren't we? We may be devoted to our families, to our husband, to our wife, to our kids, our grandkids, our parents. And that's a good thing. That's biblical. That verse from Romans 12:10 that I use for all our married couples when there's an anniversary, it's be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourself. We may be devoted to our jobs, our businesses. We know how important it is to be on time, to be dependable, to be a good worker. Christians who are late for work are a bad testimony. Christians should be the most dependable, trustworthy, hardest working employees wherever they work, right? Employees always say, I want that guy. I can count on him. I can count on her. The rest of these people, I don't know if they're going to show up or not. But we should be the most dependable, trustworthy, hardest working employees wherever we work. Amen? I didn't hear any amens. Come on. We may be devoted to staying in shape or eating well, right? Now keep in mind, there's a difference between devoted and obsessed. Last year, a doctor wanted to put me on medicine. He wanted me to say I was a diabetic. I said, oh, hold the bus. I've been eating whatever I wanted for 70 years. Let me work at this for three. Give me 3 months. Let me come back in 3 months, test my blood then. And I was devoted. Bobby might think I was obsessed. I wouldn't touch this. I wouldn't eat that. I drank more water. I started walking more. I do all this stuff just to take care of this incredible body that God gives us. And it worked. After 3 months, my numbers were all back normal. And I talked to people half my age, like Travis. He's half my age. He said, man, if an old guy like you can do it, I should be able to do it. And I said, yeah, you should be able to do it. But anyway, you got to be devoted to that, right? Got to be devoted to what we allow or don't allow our kids or our grandkids to watch or listen to or do. Right? We can't control what happens outside our doors, outside in the world, but we sure better be controlling what comes in our house, what we allow to come in, and what we keep out. And all these things are good things to be devoted to. But how many of us are truly devoted to prayer? The woman I've been living with for the last 40-some years, she's devoted to prayer. You want somebody to pray for you? Ask Bobby. I'll pray for you too, but Bobby is the real prayer warrior. Josiah and Hannah, they're part of what they call Lee Prayer on campus. Monday nights, Tuesday nights, these college students come together and pray. They get up Thursday early before class to pray. They're devoted to prayer. Bobby and I have gone to a few of their meetings, and man, we need to go. We need to come more often. We want to be there more regularly. It's so good to see a generation serious about things of God and serious about prayer. And you know, it's a biblical command. It's not just a good idea. It's not something I'm trying to get you to do. It's not about a guilt trip if you don't pray much. It's about a command from God's word. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church and to us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He says, devote, there's that word devote, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Boy, that's a good verse. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. You need to be alert. And a thankful heart. Sometimes our prayers are, like I said last week, nothing more than worrying out loud or complaining out loud. But he said, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Do you remember what Jesus told his disciples in the garden the night he got arrested? Jesus is agonizing in the garden. It said his sweat was like drops of blood. And I've talked to medical people and said, yeah, if the human body is under such pressure and tension and stress, the capillaries or whatever they're called can burst and blood can ooze out of your pores. That's where Jesus was that night. He was all God, but he was all man as well, right? And he's agonizing in prayer. And what are his closest comrades doing? They're sleeping. And he goes to wake them up. I don't know if he kicked them and said, get up, you lazy bums. If Jesus was from New Jersey, that's probably how he would have woken them up. That's how I would have woken them up, but probably not. Anyway, he asked them, couldn't you guys stay awake for 1 hour? He's like, man, I'm at my worst right now, and you're sleeping. Couldn't you give me 1 hour? And I wonder sometimes if he asks me that, Bob, can't you just give me 1 hour? And I don't mean the time when I'm working on preparing a message. Because if I wasn't doing this on a Sunday morning, it's hard to tell how much time I'd spend in the Word. But outside of all that prep work as a pastor, just as a child of God, could you give me 1 hour, Bob? He tells them, keep alert and pray after he wakes them up. Keep alert and pray so you don't give in to temptation. And that's very similar to what the Apostle Paul's telling us here in Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. Oh, that's such a good verse. Pray with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So we're going to talk about prayer again this morning, 3 weeks in a row. The title of our morning's message is Devote Yourselves to Prayer. And we're going to look at a passage in Luke 18, a verse in Jeremiah 33, and a verse in Matthew chapter 7. So, Father, right now, still our hearts and minds, and let us just tune out everything the devil is trying to distract us with, what we're going to have for lunch, where we're going to go afternoon, what we've got to do before Monday morning. Forget all that stuff for right now, Lord. We just want to come and climb up on your lap, rest against you, rest our head against you, feel your heartbeat. We want to hear from heaven this morning. We need to hear from heaven this morning. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to this church, I pray. Amen. Amen. You ever get tired of praying for the same thing over and over and over and over again? You ever get tired of praying for the same person over and over and over and over again? I mean, let's face it, it happens sometimes, right? Especially when we don't see anything changing. Thank God my wife, Bobby, didn't give up praying for me after she got saved. Instead of saying, yeah, I'm good, it's up to you. No, she prayed. She didn't see any evidence of any changes. She kept praying. She kept believing. And I was still in bed Sunday mornings, hungover from drinking all Saturday night. But she would dress our three little girls. They're in their 40s now, so this is going back a few years. When they were small, and she would dress them, and she would take them to church. Because it was important to her. And she wanted them to grow up knowing it was important. This is important to mommy. And one day it'll be important to daddy. Obviously, that happened, thank God. But she wanted to train them at an early age. This is what we do. We're going to be people that serve God. We're going to go to church when we can, and daddy will come along. And I remember one time when she tried guilting me into going, she said, Amy, when Amy was real tiny, into the bedroom, and I'm laying there, and she tapped me at his sweet little blonde-haired face, would say, Daddy, Daddy, you want to go to church with us? And I was like, no, not today, honey. You go. I'll see you later. How pathetic, right? That's the truth. That's the way it was. That was the B.C. Bob, before Christ Bob, okay? But thank God Bobby didn't give up praying for me, even when she saw no evidence. That's an Hebrews 11:1 woman right there, I'll tell you. But thank God. Thank God for praying wife. Thank God for people that are praying for us. She was devoted to prayer, and she still is. And Jesus teaches us a parable that he taught his early disciples about being devoted to prayer and not giving up in Luke's gospel. I hope this encourages someone this morning. All right? So, Lord, your word right now, let us tune in and focus on your word. This is what we need to hear this morning. This is for somebody this morning. So open our hearts up to and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke 18, verse 1, 2, and 3. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." So we got this mean judge, okay? Didn't like God, didn't like people. He was a godless man, and he could care less about people. Not a nice guy. And it was this widow in the same town. And widows were very vulnerable in that culture, and they could easily be taken advantage of. And normally they were poor people if they were a widow and didn't have family. And sorry, ladies, that's just the way it was back then. So this rotten judge has no reason to help this poor widow. She had no influence. There was nothing she could do to help his position. Probably had no money or very little money, so there's really nothing to gain from this judge helping her, right? And he would just blow her off and blow her off. And what we don't know about, we don't know what this poor woman was dealing with. But obviously somebody was mistreating her. Or somebody was taking advantage of her. And all she wants is justice. She's not going to try to sue her enemy to get a whole lot of money. She just wants what's fair. She just wants to be treated fairly and receive justice. That's all she's asking for. And apparently nobody was listening to her. And she didn't ask the judge to help her just one time. And when he said no, she probably thought, oh, well. It says she kept coming to him with this plea, "Give me justice in this dispute I'm having with my enemy." Now, she probably had put a lot of effort into getting to see the judge again and again, right? Because after the first or second time, if he saw her coming down the walk, he goes, oh, gosh, here she comes again. I'm ducking out. And just avoid her. See where she is and go the other direction. So she probably had to think this through. And in fact, this guy didn't like people. So I don't think he just sat around all day at a coffee shop waiting for people to come to him and talk to him. And this widow may have sat and waited every day for hours. She may have to wait for this judge to walk by, or maybe went where the courts were. So she said, well, he's going to show up for court. I'll put myself where he's got to walk past me to get into this building. She was determined. She didn't give up. Now, she knew the judge has authority. The judge has influence. And she knew she had no authority. She knew she had no influence. But she was devoted to her cause. She was devoted to her pursuit for justice. So she kept coming and coming and coming to this guy with her plea. Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. The judge ignored, this is Jesus now, the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God. I don't care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. See, that's a key for us, constant request. Even though this judge didn't fear God, he didn't care about people, he's finally going to give this widow the justice she's been seeking. Just to get rid of her. This woman's driving me crazy, he says. I'm going to see she gets justice because she's wearing me out. These constant requests. She persevered. I'm sure she got tired. I'm sure she went home dejected and discouraged day after day. But she didn't give up. And she gets justice. Her persistence paid off. And then Jesus finishes the parable. Look at verse 6 and 7. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson. Now, when Jesus tells us, learn a lesson, we'd be really wise to pay attention. Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. We can learn a lesson from the widow as well. But Jesus says, even this mean judge, even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? See, that's not just a 30-second prayer. Day and night. Will he keep putting them off? Now, let's face it. Sometimes it feels like he keeps putting us off, doesn't it? Does to me sometimes. But I know we can't go by our feelings. We got to go by the nature of God. And we know he's not like that. He's not unjust. He doesn't keep putting us off. Verse 8. Jesus says, I tell you, he, meaning God, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Well, that's a good question. This parable, though, it should encourage us. It should encourage us not to give up praying for people, for situations, for whatever. Even when we don't see any change. But we want to see some signs of progress, don't we? And at times we do. Man, that's encouraging when we do. But let's face it, we can get tired praying for the same things over and over, 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 over again when nothing seems to change. Right? Am I the only one that gets discouraged like that? So we need faith. We need faith to persevere in prayer. We need faith to keep praying and keep believing and keep trusting God when we don't see anything changing. We sang a song, Waymaker, right? So even when we don't see it, he's working. Right, Josiah? Even when we don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. That's not just a lyric to a song. That's truth. That's why Jesus said, when I come back, am I going to find any faith? Because he knew times were going to get tougher. And then what? Will people just give up? Or will they be devoted to prayer and be alert and thankful? How about us? Will we keep praying and believing and waiting? Or after a while, are we going to give up and say, oh, what's the use? See, this wicked judge granted this widow justice mainly because she refused to give up. It wasn't because he was kind. It wasn't because he had compassion or any mercy for her. He was tired of keep coming and coming and coming. So how much more will our loving Heavenly Father see that we get justice if we keep praying and we don't give up? This widow was a stranger to this judge. He didn't know her. He got to know her, but he didn't know her. But God calls us his children. Right? We're his beloved children. He's our Abba. He's our Papa. He's our Daddy. And he's good. He's not a mean judge. He's a good daddy. He's just. He's not unjust. He's loving. He's not wicked. We don't have to try to set up an appointment with him when he's not too busy and hope he's got a minute or two for us. He's never too busy for us. The sad thing is, oftentimes, we're too busy for him. Imagine that. How important are we that we're too busy for the King of the universe? That's being too busy. Our Heavenly Father tells us if we will call to him, he will respond to us. Because he's never, never too busy for us. Look at God. Look at what God tells us. Jeremiah 33:3. Josiah, now this is your favorite verse, one of mine all-time favorite verses. Call to me, and I will answer you. Right there. Isn't that amazing? The God of the cosmos is promising us, call to me and I will answer. I'll check. Maybe I'll get back to you. Maybe I won't. I'm kind of busy. No, I'll answer you and get this part. And I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. Wow. Unsearchable. We can't find them, but he'll reveal them to us. What an incredible promise in God's word. Call to me and I will answer you. Somebody might say, well, hey, guess what? I got to talk with Mayor Brooks today. I was downtown and Mayor Brooks came by and I got to talk to Mayor Brooks. And somebody thought, that's pretty neat. That might impress a few folks. Somebody else might say, well, big deal. I was in Nashville. I got to talk to Governor Bill Lee. Wow, really? Governor of the state. That's impressive. Some people might say, oh, yeah, well, I was talking to Peyton Manning the other day, or I was talking to some professional athlete, or I was talking to some movie star, right? And people are impressed by that kind of stuff. But every one of us can say, oh yeah, well, I got to talk to the King of the universe today. I got to talk to the creator of heaven and earth today. Hard to top that. I got to talk with El Shaddai today, God Almighty. Every one of us can say that because it's true. And he's saying, call to me and I'll answer you. And I'll tell you great things. I'll tell you unsearchable things you don't know. Wow. That's an incredible promise. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up. One more passage that instructs us to keep praying. In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 7, Jesus instructs us to ask and seek and knock. And I really like how it's worded in the New Living Translation, because this isn't a ask once, seek one time, knock once kind of instruction. So, well, I knocked, nobody answered. No, this is a continual process, continual process. Look at verse 7 and 8, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus is telling us, keep on keeping on, right? Be devoted to this prayer stuff, he's telling us. Let's keep pursuing God, folks. Let's keep persevering in prayer. You might say, I have been, Bob. I'm so weary from it. Good. Don't give up, though. Don't give up. Be encouraged. I hope this encourages somebody today. Too many people give up. And the whole point of this parable of the widow and the rotten judge is, don't stop praying. Don't give up on that lost loved one. Don't give up on that prodigal. Don't give up on that marriage. Don't give up on that job situation. Don't give up on that health situation. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And sometimes the answer is yes. We like those answers. Sometimes the answer is no. We're not too crazy about those answers. Sometimes the answer is not right now. You're not ready for it. And we say, oh, yeah, I am. No. I know you well. You're not ready. You can't handle this yet, you know. You're not ready for it. Or better yet, if you wait on me, I've got something even better. You think this is what'll solve the problem. I've got something better. If you'll trust me. Ah, there it is. Do we have enough faith in God to trust him with his answer to our prayer instead of our answer? Do we have enough faith in God to trust him with the timing of the answer? Ooh. See, when you're eternal, time's no big deal, right? We're in this world system where we're a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, there's a big difference. But when you're eternal, a year, 10 years, 100 years, don't matter. But it takes real faith to trust him, not only with the answer, but with the timing of the answer. Because what if we don't like what he says? What if we don't like the answer? It takes a real faith. And Jesus is wondering if he's going to find that kind of faith on the earth when he comes back. I sure hope so, if we're still here. You know, I read a prayer this week in a devotion, and this one part really stood out to me. And it goes like this: above all, trust in the slow work of God. We're quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay, right? Technology spoiled us. We want everything instant, you know, high-speed internet. We want microwaves, not slow cookers. We want this, we want that. We don't want to wait in line. We want to find the easiest checkout. We don't want to wait. We're so impatient. We want everything now, now, now. And he's saying, trust in the slow work of God. I like that. We may think he's slow, but he's right on time. Right? He created time. So how would he be slow? He created time. So let's learn. Please, let's learn from that persistent widow. Let's learn from that wicked judge. You probably heard this story several, if you've been in church, and you've heard this story before. But let's make it more than just an old story in an old book, right? Let it teach us something when we leave here that we can be reminded, if nothing else, be reminded. Don't give up praying. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Be devoted to prayer with alert minds and thankful hearts. Okay? devoted to prayer with alert minds and thankful hearts. And let's remember, if we call on God, he will answer us. And let's keep on asking. Let's keep on seeking. And let's keep on knocking. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Please stand with me if you're able. Whew. Lord, we thank you for the promise in your word. We thank you for this story of the mean judge and the persistent widow. And Lord, let it be real to us today when we walk out of here. Let it be real to us tomorrow. Let us remember. Let us not just, yeah, it's a nice story from the Bible. I've heard it 100 times. Let us show that it sinks into us, and we may be praying for something for years. Bobby prayed for me for a couple years. Some of us have been praying for other things longer than that, and still we don't see change, and we get discouraged. But Lord, give us hope today that this widow didn't give up. She had nobody else around her helping her. It was you and her, and she kept coming, and she kept coming, and she kept coming. And how much more will you bless us and provide for us as our Heavenly Father, as your beloved children? Oh, Lord, bless everyone here today and the families represented in this room, the ones that normally would be here but are out of town or sick or not here. Help us this week, Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Help us this week, Lord. Look more like you instead of ourselves. Help us this week, Lord, be a blessing to somebody who needs to be encouraged, somebody that might be discouraged, somebody who might be willing to give up, somebody maybe who stopped praying. Let us be an encourager to that person this week. Show us who that is, and encourage us to come back next week and bring somebody with us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.